Okay. Hi, ladies, young ladies. It's really good to be with you here tonight. As Keith mentioned earlier, my name is Mel, and I'm married to Wayne. We have three kids, so Caleb, Jossie's here, and Allie. And I'm really grateful to be here with you tonight, and I count it a great privilege to be able to share with you on this specific topic of biblical womanhood. So as a sister in Christ, friend, auntie, mom, and even fellow women of God, I'm just a few steps ahead of you in age. I'm growing just like you are, seeking to understand more of God and His love and to seek to live out His good design. So I think it's really awesome that you guys are talking about these things in youth group and hopefully at home too. There may be some things that are new, maybe some parts that are a little bit difficult to understand, but I hope you will come away encouraged and thankful for God's very good design. When I look at you guys, it actually brings me back to when I was your age. This is kind of the age when I really came to know God, and He's been so faithful and so kind. And by His grace alone, I'm still walking with Him today. So this is, when I look at you, I feel like this is just such an exciting time as you're growing into beautiful young women. And I'm just really encouraged that you're here, coming with humble hearts and being teachable. Sometimes that gets a little harder the older you get. And so humility is just so important throughout your life. And that really is my prayer for you, that you would come to know God and His deep love for you and really trust in His word. So let's pray together before we start. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your kindness and your grace to each of us. It really is a blessing to be able to gather together, especially as women, and I pray that you would be with us as we dig into your word a little bit and just learn from your good design of what you want for us as women. I pray that you would help us to have humility and just be open to what you want to teach us tonight. I'm so grateful for every person here and just this opportunity that you've given me to share and to also point them to you. So we pray that you would be glorified and honored. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so if I were to ask you a question, what does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to be a girl or a young woman? What comes to your mind? So take a couple minutes now and just chat with the people around you. What are some things that come to mind with this question? Okay, it's good to hear you guys chatting with each other. So we may have all different kinds of ideas about what it means to be a woman, to be a female, a girl, young lady. Maybe we've heard people use the term girly, right? Or say like, oh, she's such a girly girl. Like, what does that even mean? Maybe it's someone who likes to wear dresses, preferably a lot of pink, right? Enjoys doing things that are crafty and indoors and shopping and mostly non-active and is maybe a little bit boy crazy. If that's the idea of what it means to be a girl, many of us probably wouldn't fit that description. Or maybe that's you to a T, right? Growing up, I enjoyed a lot of different things. I loved sports. I also loved drawing and making crafts. I liked watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with my brother and sister. I played volleyball and softball throughout middle school and high school. And I even remember writing a paper in eighth grade titled Girl Power, and it was about women in sports. So think about this. There are over 8.2 billion people in the world today, and all of the human race is either a man or a woman. So every single person living on all different continents from different cultures, how is it possible that we can simply say that a woman is this way or that? Like, what does it really mean to be a woman? In order to answer that question, it's helpful to consider that we are often influenced and impacted by our culture. All over the world, there are different cultural expectations of what it means to be a man or a woman. Earlier this spring, our family got to go to Taiwan, and it was an amazing trip with family. So we were at a pineapple cake making shop, and they let us dress up if you wanted while the pineapple cakes were baking. I wasn't really planning on trying on any of these Chinese outfits, but before I knew it, I looked over, and this is what I saw. So that's Pastor Wayne, full on like embracing his Taiwanese culture. So I decided, okay, I'll jump in on the fun. So here's a picture of the two of us. I don't know where our kids went, Jossie. but what is my point here? Right, all of us, our families come from different cultures. I'm Chinese, specifically Cantonese. Pastor Wayne is Taiwanese and a quarter Cantonese. And there are cultural norms and expectations of what it means to be a man or a woman, right? To be masculine or feminine. For example, actually many Chinese men cook, right? My grandpa was an amazing chef, and he and my grandmother would cook dinner every Saturday night for like 20 of us. But in some other cultures, the men never step into the kitchen. So what's right? What's better? What's feminine? What's masculine? And this is where we have to ask the question, is this a cultural expectation and definition or a biblical one? And for us living here in America, we need to consider what are the culture's influences on us, right? Some may be good and some may not be. In what ways are you influenced by the culture about what it means to be a woman? So just take a minute just on your own and just think about what is it about the American culture or specifically whatever culture you identify with that has influenced you that might not be really biblical. Just take a minute to think on your own. Okay, hopefully that kind of got the juices flowing for you. So here is a graphic that Pastor Wayne put together to help us just explain kind of the difference between cultural expectations versus biblical ones. And so on the outside, the blue circle, right, those are the cultural behaviors and expectations. And on the inside, the yellow circle, is the biblical and spiritual calling. And so this is the big question, okay? Are we letting our cultural behaviors and expectations inform our biblical and spiritual calling as men and women? So in other words, are you letting kind of the culture on the outside, are we following the culture's ways? For example, right, our culture might put a lot of pressure and have expectations for women to need to be beautiful externally, right? It used to be Barbie, who was super thin. But nowadays, we might prefer like strong, athletic women, maybe someone like Captain Marvel. Or this is the other, and hopefully the way that we're going to try to move towards, are we allowing our biblical and spiritual calling, so the inside, right, to inform our cultural behaviors and expectations? So the green arrows are pushing out. And this means asking, like, what does God actually say about beauty, right? What does it mean to be beautiful in his eyes? And so it's always good and beneficial to ask the question, why are we doing what we're doing? Is it because that's what my parents want for me? Is it because this is what my friends are doing? Right? Is it because everyone else around me is doing it? Or is it because we're actually trying to obey and follow and live out God's word? And so we want to ask the question, what does being a woman look like in different cultures, in different countries? Oh, sorry. So we have to ask the question, yeah. We have to ask, what does it actually look like to live out the biblical principles? And it might be different in different contexts. Okay, so what does the world say? I typed in today, and I asked ChatGPT, what does it mean to be a woman? And this is kind of what it came up with today. It says, to be a woman is not a singular experience. It's a blend of biological factors, gender identity, cultural norms, historical struggles, and personal meaning. It encompasses a diverse range of lives, choices, and expressions. At the heart of it, being a woman is about how a person identifies, lives, and is seen in the world. And that experience can vary greatly depending on context. This is actually a pretty helpful definition in terms of, I think, what the world is believing nowadays, right? There are good things in here. Talking about, yeah, there's a diverse way that people can live and choices they can make, but God isn't in the picture in any of these things, right? So we always want to see the good, but realize that ultimately we can find these things only in Christ. Okay, and so this is another reason why it's so good and important for us to know God's word, because the Bible actually has a lot to say about everything, because God cares deeply about every part of his creation and our lives. So one big takeaway point for tonight is that the Bible has a lot to say about what it means to be a woman. Okay, and this is very much, I think, what our world believes nowadays, right? Everyone can choose who they want to be, how they want to express themselves and identify. But as believers, we always want to go back to God and his word. So what then does it mean to be a woman? And I think one of the most clear verses on what it means to be a godly woman is found in Proverbs 31:30. It says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Okay, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. If you've been at Lighthouse for a while, you hear that, right? God cares most about our hearts. And a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This doesn't mean that we fear him like we're scared of like the boogeyman, but that we revere him and we worship him because he is worthy of our worship and our very lives. Okay, and we want to continue to grow in loving God and the things that he loves. We want to embrace God's very good design. And the more we understand his love for us, the more that we can trust that his ways really are not just right, but they're better. Okay, that we get to live the way God created us. So a couple weeks ago, Pastor David gave an awesome message for the entire youth group together on God's very good design for man and woman. And I just want to do a quick review of what he shared. Right, every conversation about biblical manhood and womanhood starts in Genesis 1:27. It says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So men and women are created equal, okay, in value, worth, and dignity, solely because we are created in God's image. Right? We are all created for his glory. Pastor David had two main points. It was, you are a man or a woman because God created you as a man or a woman. What you do or don't do is not what makes you a man or a woman. Right? For example, if Pastor Wayne and I, we both are playing volleyball, right? It doesn't mean that that's masculine or feminine. It's he's a man playing volleyball, I'm a woman playing volleyball, okay? And that is, doesn't make us more manly or more feminine. Number two, you don't get to decide if you are a man or a woman. So what you feel doesn't make something real. And I think that probably is one of the greatest lies that we're learning from the world right now, is that you can define who you want to be. And whoever you say you want to be, as long as you feel it, then it's real, right? And no one can take that away from you. And so in our culture today, I think even saying things like this, it could sound really hurtful, and it might go against what people believe to be true. But I think just an encouragement, I'm sure you guys know this already, anytime we're interacting with others who might believe differently, we want to have compassionate hearts, and we never want to bash them with the Bible or use words that are hurtful. But just pray for them and be kind in our talks with them. Okay, so tonight I really hope to bring just some clarity from God's word and continue this conversation on biblical manhood and womanhood, specifically about what God calls us to as women. Just a disclaimer, there's so much that could be said. And I think working on this, I realized there was just so much, and it's so rich, but we won't be able to cover everything. Okay, you have a whole lifetime to continue to grow in understanding what it means to be a woman of God. And I'm still learning too. So, big picture, right? God has created each of us in this world as a man or a woman, and he's created us to know him and love him. And when we trust in Christ as our Savior from our sins, our relationship is restored to him. And that's what we're celebrating, right, during this Christmas season, that Jesus Christ humbled himself to become a man, to die on the cross, bearing the wrath that we deserved, and rose again to save us. And because of that, we also get to be a part of God's family. And every family has a certain feel to it, right? A family culture, you might call it. There are house rules. And our Heavenly Father is gracious and loving, and that's how his family is meant to be too. And so when I think about even men's and women's roles, that's, I think, really how the Bible talks about it, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Men and women are all called to the one another commands, okay? All over Scripture, there are so many different commandments from God encouraging us to know how to treat one another, and these are just a few examples. So it says, Galatians 5:13, right? Through love, serve one another. Encourage one another and build one another up. Oh, sorry, next slide. Is there? Yeah. And secondly, God is growing and cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in all of us, okay? So these are the one another commands. So there's just a ton of them all over Scripture, and men and women are called to all of these. And then secondly, that God is cultivating and growing the fruit of the Spirit in men and women. It's not just for the men, it's not just for the women, but all of us together. So with all of this as our foundation, right, that we are equal in worth and value and dignity, we're called to many commandments in Scripture together. What are ways that we are different and distinct? Right, so in Scripture, there are a lot of places where it does point out that men are called to servant leadership, and women are called to nurture life. Going back to Eve, her name means life. And as we talked about, women have the physical ability to give life. Even the term helper, Ezer, right, was God calling Eve to be Adam's helper and creating and helping the lives of others to flourish and thrive. So if women are called to nurture life, there are two main ways that we do so. And first is physical life, right? Bringing life to the world. So God created women with the unique ability to have babies, right? Bringing new life literally into the world, bringing physical life by giving birth to new life, right? Women, physiologically, we have a uterus or a womb where a baby can grow and develop, and it's amazing. And if you look around at church, there are a lot of pregnant ladies right now, right? So cute, like they're little baby bumps. And in there is a new life that is forming, and that's really amazing. Only women can, right? You'll never see a man, well, his tummy might be because of other reasons, right? But you'll never see a man being able to carry a baby. And in God's design, right, you need both a man and a woman to create new life. But the woman, the mother, is the one who has the God-given body to carry the baby in her womb until it's time for the baby to be born. Men cannot do that. But because we do live in a fallen world, sometimes women are not able to conceive, but God has designed still for women, not men, to bring physical life into the world. And every month when you have your menstrual cycle or your period, it's a reminder, right, that God has created women to be life givers. So I know what you guys might be thinking, like, being a mom, it's not on your radar right now. Maybe for some of you, maybe not for you guys in a long time. Maybe you hope to be a mom one day. Maybe it's not really something you're too concerned with right now. But ultimately, we just want to remember that God is the one who gives life, and women are the ones who he chooses to bring life into the world. Okay. The second way that we're able to nurture life is spiritual life, pointing others to God. So this is such an awesome way that we can all nurture life by building up others around us and pointing them to God. So a question that I want you to think about, just take a minute now, how can you nurture life and build up those around you? In your family, friends, classmates at school, here at youth group, on your teams and clubs, your neighbors. Just take a minute now on your own to think about how can you nurture life and build up those around you? All right, hopefully you had some time to just think for yourself what are ways that you can be encouraging to others. For sure, through our words, right? We can speak life literally into others. Can you think of a time when someone was so kind and they said something that was loving and that really just lifted you up? We can speak truth in love. I've been encouraged by so many different women over the years who've encouraged me through their thoughtful and intentional words. Okay. The other way also for women is in Titus 2, it encourages women to older women to teach younger women what is good, to encourage them to live for God in their families, at home, at work, and in their character. Okay, so there are so many ways that we can think of how we can nurture life in others, and I hope that as you see this, you can realize that, yeah, all of this is God's good design. We were created to reflect God's image in our own unique ways. And I just wanted you to take a minute to think through, yeah, how can you use even the gifts and talents that God has given you, right? If you're, crafty, or you like to play sports, maybe you like to bake or cook. It can go on and on. Just think about the different things that you enjoy doing, that God's given you a natural talent or just an interest in, and how can you use those to point others to Jesus, or just to think of how you can use that not just for yourself, but as a way to build others up, okay? And interactions with others, to always consider what is honoring to God, right? What is most loving? And if you're not sure how to help others, there's always the easy way of just asking, how can I help you? And so hopefully you can see that being a good and biblical woman really is as simple as just living out your faith as a woman. Okay. For women in particular, I think one idea that you may not, I don't know if you've thought about this before, is I love the idea of talking about our lives, especially as women, through the lens of seasons. Okay. Right now we're in the winter season, right? So no matter the season, the sun still rises every day. And no matter what season of life that you're in, right, as a student maybe right now, or as you get older, maybe you'll become an adult and work, or go to school, get a job, maybe get married. No matter what season you're in, just like the sun rises every day, God really should be in the center of everything that we're doing. So in this season, right, as winter, I see so many people wearing like boots, right? We have beanies, scarves. I'm wearing a really warm sweater and I'm a little hot right now. But, right, we try to lean into what that season is all about. So maybe some of you are going to go snowboarding or skiing or, drink more hot chocolate. Maybe in the springtime, right, we have the blooming of flowers. We get to see, just more life coming out. In the summer when it's hot, I know a lot of you probably enjoy going to the beach, right? Bonfires and having no school. and then fall comes, right? And there's a changing of the changing colors of the leaves, maybe pumpkin spice lattes. Do you guys like that? Okay, no. but every season, my point is, there are different things that we can enjoy and maybe different challenges. And similarly, as you continue to grow and experience more of life, you'll find that you're going to go through different seasons as a woman as well, not just physically, emotionally, and spiritually, but maybe also in different circumstances that God has prepared for you. So right now, right, you're either in middle school or high school, probably a student living with your parents, but one day you're going to be in a different season, maybe going off to college or working, maybe getting married and having kids. But whatever season you're in, just remember that there are blessings and challenges, and each season is necessary and good, and this is the way that God created it. So for me, yeah, when I was a girl and a youth and a student, right, I was trying to honor the Lord in my studies and trying to reach out to invite other friends to come to youth group. And then as I started dating and got engaged and married, right, it wouldn't be right for me to act as if I didn't have to care for Wayne once we got married, right? And then becoming a mom, if I wasn't parenting and discipling my kids or prioritizing and taking care of the home, that wouldn't be honoring the Lord in this season. Does that make sense? So depending on what your circumstances are, right, God is calling you to honor him in different ways, and that might look really different. And I feel like for women, maybe more than men, there are going to be different seasons where the way we honor the Lord will look different. And so, yeah, my point is just that we want to take into consideration the different seasons that God has us in, and God is calling us as women to live for him, but it might look a little different. So even here at church, right, if you come on Sunday or even here at, on Friday nights, you'll see there's like different women, right, in different seasons, from little baby girls to little girls, youth girls, college women, single and married women, moms, grandmothers, older, younger, different ethnicities, different social backgrounds. And we just want to live with open hands to embrace whatever God has for us in the present time and not miss out on what he's doing in your life. So just a quick note, side note, on contentment. Over the years, I've experienced it myself, but I've also seen in other women, sometimes we start looking forward to the next thing, right? We're not really that happy with the circumstances that God has given us right now. Whether it's dating or college, getting a job, getting married, becoming a mom, like whatever your dream is, fill in the blank. If you just keep wanting that thing, you're going to miss out on what God is doing right now. And there's a phrase that that I've heard that has helped me, and it's bloom where you are planted. Okay, bloom where you are planted. And that's trusting that God has you right where he wants you. And when I think about even contentment and discontentment, a lot of times it helps to remind me that Christ, Jesus Christ, is actually our perfect example of trusting God and submitting to him. Okay. He's our example that we're following our sacrificial servant leader who joyfully submitted to his Father when we embrace whatever life circumstances God has given to us. In John 6:38, it says, "For I have come down from heaven," this is Jesus saying, "not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Okay, so all of us, as men and women, we're called to joyfully submit to God and his ways because he is good and his ways are good. So right now, I just want to, because we're women gathered together, I do want to take some time to just talk specifically about the different roles that God does have for us in the church and as it relates to men and women. So in God's design, he has called qualified men to lead his church. And this doesn't mean that he's, you know, called all men generally, but those who are above reproach and meaning they have godly character. And so you can find the descriptions of the overseer or elders or pastors in 1 Timothy 3, 1-7, and Titus 1, 6-9. And so this is from 1 Timothy 3, 1-7. So it says, "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer or an elder must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil." Okay, so I read all of this mainly to share that this is what God has called. This is a great list to describe what godly men should strive for, whether they're single or married, whether they're on church leadership or not. And in each church, there will be many men who are not in leadership roles, but still serving in very valuable ways. And we are the body of Christ together. And I share this because it helps me to be thankful for our church leaders, but also just as a way to see that, you know, as women, we also have very many ways that we can serve, even if it's not specifically in the role of being a pastor or an elder. There's countless ways that we can really bless and love others well. And there's so much that we can and we get to do within the church. Okay, so when I think of our church family, and I just see men and women serving together so joyfully, even here on Friday nights, like your youth staff, they're so loving, they're so kind, you know, to spend time investing in you, and I know it really is a joy for them. And so I feel like even our church family, it is a small slice of heaven, right? Men and women in different roles, but we get to do life together, and we get to serve Christ together. For me specifically, as Keith mentioned, I do get to serve on staff part-time, and that really has been such a great encouragement to my heart as I see just other brothers and sisters, right? We all have literally so many different roles on staff, but like we have the same purpose and mission to love Christ and to make him known. And so sometimes people, I just wanted to bring this up because sometimes people get stuck on like, okay, maybe, oh, so women can't be a pastor, and then they get really hung up on that. But this is more to say that God has called men, you know, worthy men to serve. But everyone else, we have so many roles within the body. There's so much to do. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Okay, so another area that God has given men and women specific instructions is, so not just in the church, but is in marriage. And that might be another topic that really is like a long ways away for you, but because we're talking about this topic, and these are the areas that God does kind of give specific roles in terms of men and women, I wanted to bring it up. Okay, it's always good to know what God's word says so that as you prepare, as you get older, or even encouraging those around you, you know what God's word says. So what is marriage, right? Ultimately, marriage is meant to be a picture of something so much greater, right? It's like a billboard pointing to the real thing, right? So how a husband and wife love and serve one another is really supposed to be a picture of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Ephesians 2:22-31, it says this, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Okay, so I'm going to give you a minute to just let that sit. I don't know how you're feeling about this. But I think sometimes we stay there and we don't read on. And it says, verse 25, I don't think I have it on the screen, but I'll read it to you. So that's what wives are called to. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Okay, so this passage from Ephesians, it's meant to show us that marriage is supposed to be a beautiful picture of the gospel. Right, there's a clear distinction here made in the roles for man and woman. Husbands are to love as Christ loved the church. There is no greater sacrifice. And wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. And so in the context of Ephesians, Paul's writing about how God's family should treat each other. Okay, and Tim Keller, he's a pastor who passed away recently, but he describes marriage as spiritual friendship. And I have to say, you know, I'm really grateful to have been married to Pastor Wayne for 16 years now. And even as we were talking through some of this in terms of, like, submission and, sacrificial love, marriage, it's really a high calling, right? It's hard. It's unnatural for men to sacrifice and love. And it's unnatural for women to, you know, submit and follow. And so I think both of us are called to really hard things, and we can't do it on our own. And that's the point, right? We need God to help us so that we can be a picture of Christ and his church. Okay, but I know this is new for some of you, but if you talk about womanhood, this is probably one area that comes up where people, it's hard, right? Submission, the word submission. And why is that hard? Well, I think because as people, we're not naturally submissive, and that's for men and women. And that's why I brought up Christ earlier, right, that he was the greatest example of being submissive to God's ways, and that reminds us that when we are submissive to the Lord, we're not being less than, we're following Christ's example, okay? And there are a lot of other realms where you might see this idea of leadership and submission. Probably most clearly, it's like in the army or like in the military forces, right? There's usually rankings, generals and soldiers. Even in the church, there's an order of like elders and the shepherds and the flock. And in our families, right, having husbands and wives and children. And so, this is all part of God's good design because we're called to reflect his character and to complement one another. But I did want to bring up I think another reason why sometimes this is hard to accept is because we've seen the misuses and abuses of verses like this. Okay, sadly, yeah, some husbands might, or they might dominate or take over, and then others might do nothing to lead their families. And both are sinful and both are wrong. And that's not God's design. Okay, so I just want to make clear, even for wives, submitting is not subjection. So that means, right, you're not, you're willingly following God's leading as you choose to submit. So it's not just being a doormat. It's not losing your voice. In fact, right, many times, Wayne and I, we're talking all the time. We're talking through things. We're figuring things out together. Okay, but I do recognize that God has given him a role to lead our family. And when it comes to decision-making, sometimes that's all people think about. Like, so who gets to make the final decision? But that's actually the wrong question. We should be asking, how can we together, right, serve God and lay aside our own preferences to do what really honors him? So submission, servant leadership, these are God's design. And if husband and wife are doing what they can to honor the Lord, it's actually a really, really beautiful picture of the gospel. And so I've seen God's grace as we get to partner together and serve the Lord together. And so just because things don't always look perfect, it doesn't change the fact that God has designed these things to be good and they're meant to be beautiful. Okay. So yeah, take a minute now. I know that was a lot to take in. Okay. And, you know, to be honest, even as I was preparing this, I was praying for you guys a lot because I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're hearing this for the first time. Maybe you don't really believe in God. Maybe you hear this and you're like, oh, the God I know wouldn't say these things. But yeah, the next point that I want to talk about is, when it's hard for me to accept God's ways. Okay. And yeah, I remember being your age, and there have been different things that I've had to struggle through from God's word that maybe I didn't agree with naturally, but being humble before his word, he started to change my heart, okay? So first point, I would say when it's hard for you to accept God's words, or maybe even hearing some of the things that I'm sharing about tonight, I don't know how it sits on you or in your heart. First, I would say let your emotions turn you to God. Okay, one of my favorite passages from Scripture now has been Psalm 62:8. To trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So I'm still learning this. I actually learned this not too long ago, so I think it's awesome that you guys hopefully can begin to turn to God. When you hear things or you experience things in life that maybe are hard or you don't really know what to feel about it, you can always pour out your heart to him. Right, he's a refuge. He's safe, and he can bear all that you want to share. And it's reassuring to know that God already knows your heart. Right, there's nothing that you can hide from him, and he really gives grace to the humble. So maybe as we hear some of these things, it can be, hey, God, help me to wrestle through what your word says, and maybe some of it I don't really understand, or maybe it feels hard to believe. Can you help me to see why your way is good? Or help me to see more of your character. Okay. Second encouragement, when it's hard to follow God's ways, that we can choose to be thankful that God reveals himself and his ways to us. Right. First, we can always begin by remembering that it really is a gift that our God is loving and kind. I always say, you know, he could have been like a Thanos, like just like this powerful, evil, right, mega strong God. But he's not. And we can also be thankful that he has revealed himself to us and his design for creation in the scriptures. And just because I might not like it or it doesn't sit quite well for me, it doesn't mean that it isn't ultimately good, right? And God can change our hearts. The next point would actually be to have open hands. So begin by asking yourself, you know, like why? Like, why is my heart resistant to some of God's teachings? Or what is it that makes it hard for me to believe this? And it's good to, reflect on your own life. Like, what do I believe is the purpose for which I was created? Was it for myself, or is it because God has created me to honor him? And so if we know that the most important thing is for God to be glorified, then we'll want to start to trust in his ways, even if it doesn't always feel easy. And the last point is, you know, similar to when Pastor Kim says, it's not if we worship, but what we worship. I think even the idea of submitting to something, it's if it's not God and his word, we're going to submit to something else, right? Maybe the ideas from the world or from ourselves or from friends, right? So we're going to listen and follow something. And so it's a good check for ourselves, right? Naturally, we want to follow things that are easy for us, that bring us comfort and joy. But God ultimately is going to be the true fulfillment of all these things. And so one thing that I've been just praying that God would help me and hopefully all of you is to just have more of a faith-filled embracing of his good design. Okay, so I'm not saying it's easy, but to have faith that informs our embracing of his good design. Okay, so thank you guys for bearing with me. You guys have been awesome. I'm going to wrap up with just a few words of encouragement. So we as men and women, we're on this mission together to share Christ's love with the world. And I think that's so helpful when we remember that we're partners together, we get to do life together, and our purpose is to really glorify God. God is our Heavenly Father, Christ is our Savior, and you know, one day in eternity, we're going to be reflecting him perfectly, and we're going to be worshiping him perfectly. So for me, I realize when I'm in this setting, I'm a lot more middle-aged. So I'm not from the Middle Ages, but I'm what you might call middle-aged, right? Like maybe you think I'm kind of old, but then those who are older than me think I'm kind of young. But all to say, I've lived long enough now where experientially, I've begun to see that God and his word, they really are so steadfast. They never change. He never changes. Right? I've lived to see some fads come and go, right? I wore baggy jeans. Now you guys, 30 years later, are wearing baggy jeans. So we went from baggy to skinny, and now baggy is back. So get ready for skinny again soon. But however the world changes, or whatever culture promotes in fashion, success, ideology, God and his word are unchanging. The word of the Lord truly stands forever. And it has been just a blessing for my own heart to learn to humbly receive God and his word again and again, right? Even this topic for me was studying and learning and relearning things. And as I have shared, God has helped me to see more and more how beautiful and loving he is and how beautiful and loving his ways are and to embrace them more and more. So one day, it'll be hard to believe that you will be middle-aged, and I can only guess what the cultural and worldly influences will be like. But my prayer for you is that you would stay humble before God, trusting him with all your heart and loving him the best that you can, right? Clinging to his word by faith, even when it doesn't always sit well, and most of all, that you would know that your identity is found in him. So each of us was created by God for his glory, to know him, to love him, and to love others. And I think this is really such a comforting truth, that God is writing his story in your life. Okay, you were created for something greater than yourself. But in this day and age, it's easier and easier to become self-absorbed and self-focused, right? You have phones, you have social media, a culture that is screaming, you be you. But God's ways are so much greater, right? We were meant to look upward and outward. I mean, isn't there something amazing about feeling small, right? When you go camping and you look up at the stars, or when you go to the beach and you see the waves just keep crashing, right? There's no end to the water. So as we live with open hands and be excited about the story that God is writing in your life, as you reflect him in the ways that he designed for you to be as a young woman in this time, that he's created every specific detail about you, that is beautiful. And so I just wanted to close our time with a wonderful encouragement from God's word. 1 Peter 3:3-4. It says, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. God is not saying that braiding hair and jewelry and clothing are bad. Not at all. These are good gifts. There will be gold in heaven, right? But we are here not to use our beauty for ourselves, but to portray the beauty of Christ. Right? Gentle here, it means meekness or strength under control. Jesus Christ was the meekest person who ever walked the earth. Quiet doesn't mean you're silent and you don't say anything. Quiet refers to your heart, that it's not hurried or anxious, but it's resting in God's love and trusting in him. Okay, and it says, the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, that's what we want as women. And this is God, in God's sight, is very precious. So ultimately, it's God's approval and his thoughts that we treasure the most. Okay, so what a blessing that God has created us as women who are indeed precious in his sight as we grow in trusting him and loving him more and more each day. Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love for us. It truly is undeserved. And even in this Christmas season, we're reminded that you came for us when we weren't looking for you, when we were running away from you. But thank you for Christ, for his example of joyful submission to you. And I pray, Lord, that that would be an example for us, that we would want to follow you and your ways. Help us to trust in your word. I pray that your spirit would continue to just guide us day by day, step by step. I'm so grateful for each of these young women, that you would continue to do a good work in their lives and through them for your glory and for their joy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks. Thank you.